that God has saved us. God has saved us from the peril of sin. God has saved us. If we know Jesus this morning, God has given us a hope forever. I don't know about you, but when I sing those songs, I sometimes have to then reflect on my own life and say, wow, do I really do it justice, this Christianity business? Do I really give it as much as I could? I guess the answer sometimes is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's I'm in process. That's really just a cop-out, really, that one. But let us not be a people that just sing songs. Thank you, Trevor, for leading us and the band. Let us not just be a people that just sing songs. Let us be a people that say, we're going to go and allow those songs to have application in our lives during the week. It's so easy to sing songs, isn't it? So easy to sing songs. So much harder to change. So much harder to change. This morning, just as we were practicing, I had on my mind this morning a song, Fix Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's an old song, I believe. But all these old songs are now modern. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. And I pray this morning that as we look into God's word, that our eyes will be fixed upon Jesus. Our eyes will be fixed upon Jesus, because by our eyes being fixed upon Jesus and not our own selfish ambition, not our own self-worth, not a desire for what we want, but when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, then we've got the potential to be changed. I had a wonderful week this week away with my family. Unfortunately, I came back to not so wonderful things in my email box again. Church, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us trust in Him. Let us not just sing the songs. There was 81,000 people singing songs yesterday in Wembley. Let us not be like them, singing for something that's worthless. Let us sing songs to a God that we believe in that can change our hearts. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we've got to do notices, but just felt that we needed to just... Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank You for this new day. And Lord, I love it when we worship God together. I love it when you see people engaging by Your Spirit in worship. But Lord, never allow us to be false. Never allow us just to put on a show. Never allow us just to sort of put on this spiritual performance. Because God, You see straight through that. Like knife would go through butter. You see straight through it. We can't fool You. Lord, may we be a people. May we be a people that believe what we sing. May we be a people that say, by Your Spirit, change our hearts to for us to be more like Jesus. Change our minds to be more like You. Change our attitudes to be more like Christ-like. Lord, there's nowhere we can go. It says in Scripture, the highest mountain, to the depths of the sea, to the north, the south, and the east and the west. There's nowhere we can go to escape Your presence. So that means if there's nowhere where we can go to escape Your presence, there's nowhere that You will not see us. There's no opportunity for You not to hear us and to see the lives that we live. And Father, forgive us for the times when we do it wrong. And by Your grace, would You restore us? Would You build us up? Would You help us to be more like Jesus? Would You help us to be a church that we're not that bothered about what goes on around us in a worldly sense, but we'll be a church that say we will fix our eyes upon Jesus. We wouldn't just lift our hands in praise, but we'd lift our lives to You every day. We'd lift our hearts to You that we want to be changed. We'd lift our mannerism and our minds and our spirits and say, Father, change us each and every day for Your good. So Father God, as we come now to look at Your word, I pray this morning that we would really encounter Jesus today, Lord. Lord, if we don't encounter Jesus, I don't want to be here. And I thank you that we've already encountered you by your Spirit during that time of worship. And I pray, Father God, that now you would speak to us through your word. That you would speak deep into our hearts, that you would penetrate to the depths of our very being, and you would change the things in me this morning that need changing. And dare I even say that you would change the things in all of us that need changing today. By the power of your Spirit, living and moving and working in our very being, because you've chosen us. You've chosen us to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen. There's notices, just to sort of bring your attention to. There's a Carers for You, Carers Cafe, on the 6th of June, 10:30 till 12:30 in the lounge. Please, if you want to come along to that, the sheet will just be here, but that's on the 6th of June, 10:30 till 12:30 in the lounge. We've been asked by the council, well, the police force and the council to start street passes in Rayleigh. It's great, because usually it's the church is asking the council and the police, but they're asking us. So we're considering doing street passes in Rayleigh on a Saturday night. There's a meeting about that on Friday the 5th of June in the Methodist Church. For all of those who might be interested in it, please do come along. I'll be there as well, just for a short time. Unfortunately, I can't be there for the whole thing. I need to go on to another meeting as well. But please do come along. But also next Sunday, we've got our first Sunday Come to Lunch. Sunday the 7th of June, after the first Sunday service, we've got an opportunity to come to lunch. I want to encourage you to sign up today if you want to come for lunch. We're going to leave those here. But also, next Sunday, Jonathan will be speaking to us at the first Sunday service. I'm actually on the radio next Sunday morning, BBC Radio Essex. If you want to join me, please get up at 8 o'clock and join me in spirit. And I'll be on the radio next Sunday morning. So, but I'll be coming back here for about 9:30. And at 9:30, I want about 5 or 6 people to come and help me. Okay? An email's gone out to small group leaders about helping on the first Sundays. The response has been Masa Menos, we would say in Peru, which means so-so in English. But we need people to help. No good just coming and eating. We need people to help set up, okay? So next Sunday, 9:30 in the morning, I need 6 people to come and help me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put out some chairs. Okay? And somebody said to me this morning, why are you doing it? Well, because nobody else will. So, but I need 6 people to come and help me next Sunday, 9:30. Please, can you come to me afterwards and sign up on this sheet? And if I get 20 of you, fantastic. I'll put you down on the next first Sunday to help me. 9:30, we're going to set up some tables, and then we're going to have a cup of coffee. I've got a nice coffee machine in my office. Don't worry, I'll crack it open for you. And then after that, we're going to just serve the people their lunch, and after that, we're just going to tidy up, and we're going to do that in a joyful way. Okay, 6 people. We're a church of 350 people, if not more. 6 people. Can you come and see me afterwards, or can you write your name on this little list that I'll have in my hand? And if you don't, then I won't let you go home for your lunch. It's pretty straightforward. No, I'm only joking. I'll let you go home for your lunch, because if not, you'll be more grumpy. We don't want that. We're always grumpy when we don't eat, aren't we? My wife tells me I'm always grumpy when I don't eat. So obviously, that's why I'm so happy. Because I eat too much. Right, okay. Open your Bibles if you can. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And we're going to just continue where we left off last week. We're spending some, over the next couple of weeks, we're spending some time looking at the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are fantastic. So much to tell us. And actually so much that, you know, we can't really do justice to in the next couple of weeks. But I want us just to focus today on one verse. And if you were here last week, I know many people are away because it's been a half term, but if you were here last week, we spoke about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that whole identity that we need to be reliant on God, 100% reliant on God, for God to use us and to minister to us and to move us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that whole aspect of that, we need to just depend on God. It's not about you and me, really. I know we like it to be often, don't we? Let's be honest. But it's not about us. It's about actually being so poor in spirit that we need more and more and more of God in our lives to depend on him for absolutely everything. And if you're here last week, you remember me speaking about how I love it in situations where I go into the situations where I can't do it on my own because I have to fully depend on God. And I know for some of us, that's just like, that just shouts, oh my goodness, no, 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 no. That's not very British, you know, we need to have everything ordered. But actually, that's not the nature of God. We're not British, we're citizens of heaven. We're people that are called by God. And we looked last week about how, you know, we need to just have that whole sense of being dependent on God, fully dependent on God. And like I just prayed a few minutes ago, let's not mess about with God. Let's not be foolish enough to think that we could just take God for a ride. Because I tell you what, if we think we can do that, then we're on to a big, big problem way ahead in our lives. Because we can't take God for a ride. God knows absolutely everything about us. And last week we spoke about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have the kingdom of heaven to come. And I gave that story, didn't I, about that friend of ours, Daniel, who was 19 and died a few weeks ago. And just before he died, he put his thumbs up and he said to his mum and dad, it's all right. It's all right. I can see the Jesus. I'm going home. It's all right. I had the privilege yesterday to listen to his funeral service. I must admit, I wept for about an hour and a half watching it because I wasn't able to be there. But, you know, just that whole sense that our reward is going to come. But so often we just live for the here and now. Don't let us not live for this world. Let's not do that because actually, it's all right, but it's not that great. Let us live because one day that we will be in the kingdom of heaven with Jesus, where the roads are paved with gold. There's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's just joy in the presence of God. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily want to go there right today, but I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be in the presence of God. I love the Lord with all my heart. I love to worship Him. But imagine what worship would be like in heaven. Oh, my goodness. Imagine what it'd be like. And then very fitting, after that verse, we come to the one I want us to focus on today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, this is a piece of scripture that, you know, we often hear, don't we, at the odd funeral service, you know? You know, it's in every funeral book there is, you know? And it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And is that scripture just there for when we go to funerals? Surely not. But it is something that I've used myself these last couple of weeks in the funerals that I've done. It's what I'll use this Tuesday as I spend some time on Tuesday morning with a family as they place their father's ashes to be laid to rest. And then as I appreciate your prayers on Tuesday and Tuesday afternoon as I lead this community in a service of thanksgiving for a life of a young man who was tragically lost a few weeks ago. And I'll use that verse because it's a really important verse. It does say to the world that actually when you're hurting, there's something that can help you. There's something that can help you in that time of struggle. So I want to focus on this verse today. And I want to look at it from three perspectives. And the first perspective is the one I just spoke about. There is mourning caused by personal loss. And it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And it's really important for us to understand, blessed are those who mourn. Mourning's going to happen. There's going to be sadness in the world. The world's not going to be a joyous place all the time, you know, because that's not the way it was ever going to be. I don't think, you know, God never intended it to be a place of just happiness all the time, because if there was just happiness all the time, then we wouldn't have an understanding of our need for Jesus. But so we live in a world where there is pain, and there is suffering, and there's things that we just frankly don't understand and we don't like. You know, when I look at Daniel, I think 19 years old, Lord, why did you take him from me? I loved him, he was great. Last year, when a friend of mine who was a pastor of a big church went to be with the Lord, I remember getting so cross. Lord, why have you done that to me? Why? And I remember the Lord saying to me, well, he needs to be with me now. And what I want is more important than what you want, Scott. So just get a grip. Kind of like that. And actually, there is sadness and there is difficulty in the world. There is pain and there is suffering, but how do we respond to that is the key, really, as the church. Because if the church can't respond to the world when it's in mourning or suffering, then what on earth are we up to? If we cannot respond to people in that very nature of that need that they have, then what are we about? And the first thing I want us to speak about there is mourning caused by personal loss. You know, There's people here today that even just in these last couple of weeks, you've lost people that you love dearly. You've lost people that you have loved and you've walked the life together with, who you've journeyed life through together. You've done the good and the bad and the in-between. And grief, you know, grief is a real thing. It's a thing that really just breaks our hearts. It breaks our heart to the core. You know, there'll be parents that have lost children. Really? Is that how it works, Lord? Surely it should be the other way around. But actually, some parents have to bury their children because we live in a world of pain and suffering. Now, ours is not to understand it. Well, mine isn't to understand it. I just trust in God to give me the grace and the ability to live in it every day. Because my brain, I don't know about yours, but my brain's not that big. I'm not that smart. You might be to outsmart God, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not. And if you are, God bless you. Have a good go at it, but you won't win. But you know, there's personal loss. There's people that have lost their fathers or their mothers or their brothers or their sisters. There's people who lose things in life that were so dear to them. So it's not just people dying, it's losing something that was close to you. I remember a story of a friend of mine who said once he went up the escalators and she went up the escalator with her husband. And as she got to the escalators, the husband turned left and she turned right. She'd never seen him since. 28 years later, she still doesn't know where he is. But there's loss of losing something really precious to you. I remember when I was little, you know, I had a little cat, little kid. It died. I thought my world had ended. It's only this little thing. Well, little thing. And I lost my cat and I was just, my heart was broken. I remember when I lost this, I had this girlfriend. Don't tell Anjanette. Oh, she's just popped in. And you know, I was that young age when I was just like, oh, she was just, she was my everything. I couldn't live. And then she said to me, I don't want you anymore. She dumped me. Could you imagine somebody dumping me? Do you know what I mean? I'm going to the school reunion in a couple of weeks' time, actually, after Trevor and Jane's wedding. The next Sunday, Roland is going to be preaching in the morning, so I'm going to go to my school reunion. I think I'll go, but I'll be odd, won't it? You'll be like, oh, hello, oh, hello. I'm going to take my big twin brother. So, and he said to me, I'll have to go and protect you, he said, because, you know, they all liked you for your humour. I said, I didn't like my good looks. He said, no, just your humour. But, you know, I remember when that person said to me when I was about 14 that she didn't love me anymore. I said, well, how can you not love me anymore? You're the love of my life. I can't live without you. And then about a week or so later, it was all right again, wasn't it? And then 18 years ago, the Lord gave me the most precious thing to me, which is Anjanette. And I'll love her until I go to be with Jesus. But you see, this piece of scripture talks about there is mourning caused by personal loss. We look in the scriptures, we look at King David, and King David, you know, in scripture, King David had some issues there. He was he grieved about his son and how he lost his son. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 6, you know, there's this whole concept that actually we live in a broken world. It said the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, a good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now God speaks about how actually there is personal pain and suffering, but God comes to heal the brokenhearted. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And then Psalm 30 speaks about how you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put my sackcloths and clothed me with gladness. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about how actually there will be personal loss, but actually Jesus comes in to change that. And it says here, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You see, that whole they will be comforted in this personal context is to say that God will comfort you. I've been with families in this church who have lost loved ones in these last few weeks. And I go often to the crematorium with these people and I stand there and think, how on earth did they do that? And then they did it because God comforted them. God gave them the strength to speak. God gave them the words to deliver. God gave them the ability to talk to people. And actually, you know, often in that sort of context, we have a really strong witness, don't we? To say, actually, yeah, I am upset and I am grieving and I am finding life hard, but I'm comforted by Jesus. Jesus is giving me peace. And from a worldly point of view, people like to say, what? How can you have peace? That is not real. You're just joking. And actually, we all know, I'm sure many of us know, sorry, that actually when we lose somebody personally in our life, yeah, the grief is hard. The grief breaks our heart. It might be from somebody passing away. It might be someone that we've loved that's gone. It might be that a marriage is broken up. Whatever it may be, when our hearts are broken, we also have to understand that, I love that this verse says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that's the bingo there. That's the wow, there's the reward, because we will be comforted by Jesus. Mourning's going to happen, but in personal loss, we will be comforted by Jesus. And how can we describe that to people? It's really hard to describe, isn't it? It's really hard to describe. But actually, one of the most powerful witnesses that we have as Christians is actually when we do grieve a personal loss, is about actually using that for the good of Jesus by saying, well, actually, Jesus is comforting me. Jesus is helping me. Jesus is renewing me. Jesus is loving me. And people can see something of Jesus in us because we're relying on him, because it says in Scripture that he will comfort us. See, Jesus never will put us through something that he won't help us with. Amen? Jesus will never put us through something that he won't help us with. So the first thing is there is mourning caused by personal loss, but actually in that personal loss, our hearts will be comforted. Peace will come. Now, will we always be saddened that that person may have gone from us forever? Absolutely. But we rely on those beautiful memories that will keep us going. But little by little, God does soften our hearts. But so often it's possibly some of you even saying it, Pastor, it's easy for you to stand up there and say that because you haven't lost somebody as close to you as I have. No, I haven't. But I pray that when I do, I pray that I would just trust in God to give me the comfort that I need to keep on going. I pray that that would be the way. I pray that there'll be a witness in my life because of that. So the first thing is this. You know, we look to that when we think about this verse, we often think about the mourning on the personal loss, and that's true. But there is mourning caused by the sin and sorrow in a suffering world, is the second point I want to talk about. Blessed are those who mourn. And why are they blessed, those who mourn? Because they will be comforted by Jesus. They will encounter Jesus. Do you get it? They will encounter Jesus. You see, blessed. Why are you blessing people that are mourning? God. Why do you just not give them any mourning in the first place, God? That would be a lot easier, but you can't do that. Because that's not the nature of the world that we live in. The world is a broken world. But it's about how we respond and how we act in a broken world that will bring about change. And so I remember one of my friends saying to me once, you know, blessed are those who mourn. Well, why does God want to bless those who mourn? Why does he just not let them mourn at all? I said, well, let's be realistic. We live in a world where there is brokenness and there's sin and there's struggle and there's things that we don't understand. And then it goes on to say, as we just read, for they will be comforted. They will be comforted by God. And then there is mourning caused by sin, sorrow, and suffering in our world. When we look around our world today, I don't know about where you look from, perspective you look at, there's lots of suffering, isn't there? There's lots of suffering and sorrow and sin in the world. There's a lot of things that we just don't understand. But as well as I have, you have also heard the stories of people that have somehow encountered Jesus in the suffering that the world has shown them. There is mourning caused by sin and sorrow in our world, but actually in the sin and the sorrow and the difficulty of the things in the world, that's an opportunity for God to interconnect into that situation and to bring about a new hope and a new beginning and a new start. As a missionary in Peru, I saw lots of things with my eyes that I never ever want to see again. But I've seen things that have just built my faith beyond measure. I've seen people that actually have suffered beyond measures that I will never, ever, ever, ever suffer in my life. I saw people with homes being washed away down the riverside and their small baby washed with their house who they've never seen again. I've seen people suffer. And I've seen people in sorrow in this world who are mourning because everything has been taken away from them. We live in a world where there's things that just don't make sense. But on the other side of that coin, I've seen some of those people in those circumstances, because of their mourning, because of their loss, because the world is full of sorrow and suffering, I've seen them encounter Jesus. And by encountering Jesus, I've seen them come to faith in Jesus because of that suffering. And now I see them living a full life for Jesus, using the gifts that Jesus has given to them to further his kingdom in the world. Does that make sense? You know, so God uses the suffering and the difficulty in the world to help people encounter Jesus. How often have we heard people say, well, you know, it was at this point in my life when this happened to me and that happened to me and the world just was a mess and it was all screwed up and I hated it and I just wanted to get out of it. And actually, somebody said to me, come to church or come to Alpha, come and encounter Jesus. And then when they encounter Jesus and get baptized and share their testimony is powerful because they've actually encountered Jesus. And I can think of people in a place called Ukai where they got everything taken away from them, but actually in their mourning and in their loss, in a world that was just a mess, they encountered Jesus and went on to be baptized and now love Jesus and live for Jesus. Now, the question is, well, could Jesus have done it another way? Of course he could have done. But he chose to do it that way. The Lord Jesus also grieved over the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus really never laughed, I don't think, but he became angry, hungry, thirsty, and sorrowful. There's at least two occasions where Jesus wept. See, it wasn't just us weeping over this world. Jesus did it too. Jesus wept at the death of a friend, Lazarus, who had died, and he wept with Mary and Martha. He entered into their pain. Do we weep with others in their sorrow and pain? Jesus did it. Jesus wept. And why did Jesus allow that to happen again? It's because Jesus is in charge. And he did it because then he was able to meet with those people, and they encountered Jesus through him. Jesus wept over the lost city in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44. As he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, this is the city that I love. Let there be peace. And he wept over the city. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus wept over the things that he saw in the world as well. And every time you look at those things, you can challenge me on it if you want, but I think looking at it myself, in all those moments when Jesus wept and encountered the mourning and the suffering in the world, then Jesus actually helped people to see something of himself. Now, there is mourning and there is suffering, and people will choose often at times in the world just to say, well, that's just my lot. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm just going to live with it. Because that's just the world that we live in. Those Christians, they talk a load of garble goop and they don't make sense anyway. But actually, I know that if people at that point, when they look at a world that's full of sin and sorrow and suffering, when those people turn to Jesus, I know and I believe that Jesus will encounter. Jesus will give them an encounter of himself. Because Jesus gives us this whole thing called free will, doesn't he? Why did he do that? He did that because we needed it so we could have faith in him forever. But you see, Jesus is not happy with the world, I don't think. There's sin, there's suffering, there's things that we don't understand. Now, we've got two options, really, as far as I see it. We can just close our eyes to it and say, it doesn't really exist. I'm not going to look at it. Or actually, we can engage in that suffering and that pain of the world, and we can somehow bring Jesus into that. I could have looked at some of the things I've seen in my life and thought, you know what, I'm just not going there. But actually, God gave me the strength to go there. And by my presence being there, Angelette and myself and others were able just to say to people, in your mourning, in your suffering, in your lack of understanding of the world that you live in, because it's just from where you're looking through, the lenses that you're looking through, it looks painful. We want to share Jesus with you. And the question I have to us, do we weep over the things that Jesus also wept over? Do we weep over the brokenness of the world? Do we weep over it? Do we pray for it? Do we ask God to use men and women, boys and girls around the world to bring comfort into the situation. So, or do we say, well, it's not in really Essex, so it's not even in England, ooh, so it's not really my deal, it's not really my issue. We may not be able to go and to bring comfort, but we can pray that people bring comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The world is full of mourning. But surely the evangelical Christian response, our response as a church, is not to run away from that brokenness and that mourning in the world, but actually is to encounter it and to engage with it and somehow to reveal Jesus to the people that are in it. Tuesday this week, I'm going to stand before a family who actually, quite frankly, were in my office a few weeks ago and said, from where I'm sitting, the world just, excuse my language, but the world just sucks. That's what they said, quote, unquote. They said to me, you know, where I'm sitting from, the world just looks horrible. I hate it. I don't want to be in it. Why has this happened to me? I had two options, didn't I, really? One was just to pray, Lord, bless you, comfort these people. Go and speak to Mike Lodge. Or the option two was to say, well, actually, come and sit with me. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to grieve with you. I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to somehow, in my frail nature, I'm going to somehow reflect Jesus to you. How am I going to do it on Tuesday? I haven't got a clue. But I know by the power of God living within me, I'll be able to do it. See, I had two options then, didn't I? One was to turn my back on these people that said, actually, from where they're sitting, the world is not a good place at the moment. I say, for me personally, and I pray for us as a church, that we say, we're going to engage with you. We're going to engage with you. We're going to walk alongside you. We're going to help you. And I pray that something of my witness this week in that really difficult situation, I'm praying that Tuesday comes fast and leaves fast. Because it's not going to be a nice day. But I pray that as some do what I do on that day, that they somehow will see in me Jesus, and they will be somehow comforted in the world that they live in. In that same conversation, that person said to me, you know, it's rubbish. But they did also say to me, can you pray for me? Can you hold my hand and pray for me and my daughter? I said, well, I pray for you, but I tell you what, we pray for you as a church. And I said to them at that point, I said, you know that these doors are open for you for all the time. You come and speak to us. You come and talk with us. We want to help you. Do we weep over the things that Jesus wept over? Do we respond to the things in the world that Jesus responded? There's a world full of mourning. And the world that's full of mourning will only know the blessing of God and will only know the comfort of God when the church of God go and tell them. How else will they know it? How else will they know it? How else will the world know in their mourning and their struggling and their suffering, how else will they know that Jesus will comfort them unless we go and tell them? How else will they? Tell me. Maybe I'm being a bit daft for a moment. How else will they know unless we go and tell them? But the reality is this, that we just want to stay in our little box because it's nice and clinical and clean. But God wants us to go into the world that's broken. And he wants us to somehow reveal Jesus to those people so they too will be comforted by the Jesus that comforts us. They too will one day, we pray, hopefully be restored by Jesus. I'm praying in faith that those people that I met with this week, I'm praying in faith that one day I will indeed baptize them in this very water here and the glory will go to God, because even in their mourning and their suffering and their pain, that they have somehow encountered Jesus. Now, logically, that doesn't make sense. But spiritually, it does. Spiritually, it does. And you might think I'm a fool. Well, if you think I'm a fool, well, God bless you. God likes fools. I'm going to pray that by me responding to them, that one day they will respond to Jesus by going through the waters of baptism. And don't you take that away from me, because that's the faith that I have. If you don't have it, then, sorry, that's the faith I have. And if I need to walk with them in the things that feel uncomfortable to me, I just need to put myself in their place for a minute and think, how on earth would I do that? How on earth would I walk? How on earth would I tell my children that mummy or daddy's not there anymore? How on earth would I live life when that person was taken away from me so suddenly? I will only be able to live life if that ever happened to me because of Jesus. That's the only way I could do it. And the love of the church and the love of people who love me. So surely we, as the church, as Rayleigh Baptist Church, we need to be people that enter into these people's lives. You've got colleagues that are suffering. You've got colleagues and friends that are just, their world is just a mess. Well, maybe it's time for you to invite them to Alpha. Maybe it's time for you to go and have a cup of coffee with them and not be so self-centered about your own life for a minute, but pop into their world. It might be a bit more messier, but I tell you what, by faith, the outcome will be a lot more glorious. The last thing I want to speak about this morning is there is mourning caused by our own sin. Last week we said that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our dependency in God is so, so important. But there is mourning caused by our own sin. You see, our own sin doesn't please God. Romans chapter 7 says this. Paul faced the same struggle in Romans chapter 7. And he wrote this. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Then he added, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The very fact is that we have things in our life, sin. We have things in our life that there is mourning caused by our own sin, because there's things in our life that God does not like to see. There's things in our life that God grieves about. Now, other people may not see it, but don't try and outsmart God, because God sees everything. God sees into this. God sees into this. God knows my thoughts. God knows my mind. God knows my words that I might have said to somebody. Maybe my family, those that I love. In the Old Testament, God was grieved over the sin of his people. Prior to the flood, the Bible says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Genesis 6:6, you know. That's what God said. The Lord said, and the Lord was sorry that he had made men on earth. See, as it says men there, do you notice that? You're all right, ladies. I always knew you were perfect. Made men on earth, and he grieved in his heart. Genesis 6:6. Man of sorrow and grief, Jesus talks about. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on that day of reckoning, in Ephesians 4:30. There is mourning caused by our own sin. There is sadness in God's eyes by the sin that we allow to happen in our life. And what does God say to us as his people? God says us the same. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There is mourning caused by our own sin. There's things in our life that are not right. And God is mourning with his people. Well, mourning with me, if you want me to not personalize it so much. But there's things that I do in my life that God is not pleased with. There's things in my life that upset God, that break his heart. The person whose heart is broken because of sin is ready to be comforted. The person whose heart is broken because of sin is ready to be comforted. You see, there's things that we do, aren't there? Or am I just speaking to myself? Maybe I am, and if I am, God bless you all. But there's things that I do. There's things possibly that you do that God mourns over. God is not pleased with. He is saddened by. And the invitation to us is come. The invitation is to us is come, and I will comfort you. I will restore you. I will make you to be the people that I want you to be. But we don't always get it, do we? Because we quite like living the way we want to live. We quite like living the way that with the sins that maybe other people don't know about. The way we behave, the way we act, the way we deliver things, the way we talk, the way we have attitudes. We've done all that in Philippians, so we're not going back over it. Just pray that it will sink into us all. But there is mourning caused by our own sin. None of us. You're all beautiful. I love you. You know I love you. I do. I love absolutely every single one of you. I even love my friends that are here today as well. I love you guys too. But you know what? I love you all. But because I love you, I need to tell you that there's things called sin in our life that God mourns over. And he wants us to get them right. He doesn't want to condemn us. He doesn't want to just kick us out and say, that's it, that's the end of you, because that's not his nature. Amen? Woof. I rejoice over that. You may not. I do. Because I know what I'm like. I know my nature. But God says to me, those things that you do, those sins that you do, that I mourn, that I weep over, that I get upset about, can we not just deal with them? For they will be comforted. Can God not just comfort you? Can God not just help you to deal with those things? Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and his sin is covered. In Psalm 32, verse 1. You see, there is mourning caused by our own sin. And you know and I know, and we're not going to raise our hands and come forward, but you know and I know. You know your heart, don't you? You know your heart. I know my heart, so let's just leave it at that. You know the things that God would look at your life today, and you know the things that God would mourn over. Because you know them. Because even sometimes when you do them, you think, oh, I know that wasn't quite right, but maybe the senior minister might not find out, or maybe God will never find out. Well, fool are you if you think God will never find out. But actually, God mourns over the sin that we do all the time. And God says, I want to comfort you. What does that mean? He said, I want to help you. I want to restore you. I want to deliver you. I want my spirit to fill you so you can be the people I want you to be. I tell you what, church, we are on the edge of something exciting. I've just been away for 3 or 4 days. And I'm excited. I did think about church every day because I was praying for you every day. I can't just go on holiday and say, well, I'm not praying for them this week. You know, I was praying about what God is going to do among us. But God keeps bringing me back to this word. I'm going to get you ready. I'm getting you ready. I'm getting you ready. And I'm not one of those people that like to, I want to go, you know. Have you noticed? I want to just get going. I don't want to wait. The Lord said, I'm just getting you ready. I'm just getting you ready. And I think, well, this is a lot of getting ready. So there must be a lot of good coming. But actually, there is mourning caused by our own sin. And God says, I want to comfort you. I want to help you. My question to you this morning is this. Are you willing to accept that God mourns over your own sin and he wants to help you with it? Because if you don't, then why are you come to church this morning? Go and have a Costa or something. What's the point? But if we say, actually, I know that actually Jesus mourns over my sin and the things that I do wrong, and he wants to comfort me. He wants to restore me. We're not just talking about anybody that wants to. We're talking about Jesus, the King of the universe, the best person in the world. Jesus says, I want to comfort you. I want to restore you. I want to bring you to the best perfection that I could, being that Jesus is perfect. And I want, because when I get you in that place, boy, oh boy, am I going to use you powerfully for the kingdom. We know that when we're entangled with sin, our mind plays havoc on our heart, and our heart is our mind, and we say things and do things, and oh, we're a mess, aren't we? But we know that when we're stronger in Jesus and our life is better in Jesus, we know that Jesus uses us in a powerful way. Or is that just my life? When I'm entangled in sin, I kind of have to come to work some days because I'm the minister, you know. But I remember in one of my jobs a long time ago, I didn't go in the office for a couple of days. And they said, where are you? I said, just cancel my appointments. They said, why? I said, I'm just not in the right place. And they said to me, one of the senior ministers said, just get on with it. I said, how can I just get on with it? How can I sit down with people for the next couple of days when actually I'm really struggling? It wasn't a sin that was that drastic, but I was just really struggling. And I said, I just need to stop and have some time with Jesus. And then I'll do it again in a few days. No, he said, come on, just get on. We all struggle. Just get on with it. You've got all these appointments. I said, no. And he said, yes. And I said, no. And I won on that one occasion. I didn't win on the others. But actually, you know, because we have to actually deal with our sin, because if God mourns over it, then that concerns me, that God mourns over my sin. And I don't want him to mourn too much. I want him to be delighted in me. And that invitation comes from God to say that he will comfort us. And there is mourning in our own sin. There is mourning caused by our own sin. but God will comfort us in that. Conclusion. I don't think there can be a conclusion with this. I think it's an ongoing thing, but I put a conclusion question mark. Is there ever a conclusion? But I'll just tell you what it says. The reason those who mourn are blessed is because comfort is available from Jesus. The reason those who mourn are blessed is because comfort is available from Jesus. There is mourning caused by our personal loss. Let us allow Jesus to comfort us, is what he's saying. Because by Jesus comforting us, the pain will go away. I've had the privilege just to walk with Mary. Where's Mary on Twitter? Where is she? Where's Mary? Is she here? Where is she? I've had a real privilege to walk with this lovely lady these last couple of months, haven't I? We didn't want it to happen what happened, but we walked together. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed by walking with you. I have so been blessed. A couple of weeks ago, the Brown family, they're over there. I've been able to walk with them, and I've been so blessed. And I feel so privileged to walk with your family in these last couple of weeks. I really do feel it's a real privilege for me. In your loss that you've had, even though today your heart is still sore and still painful, I can't just do the sermon without saying to you that God will continue to comfort that heart. Little by little, God's going to do it, and we're going to do it with you. And you might have noticed when these families went through loss, I said, you might have not heard me, but if you didn't hear me again, I said that we will stand with them. We will stand with them as a church. If you're not prepared to do that, then there's a URC, Methodist, Anglican, help yourself to any of them. Because we will stand with these people, and we will comfort them, as we will comfort you when personal loss happens to you. In the world that we don't understand, I don't understand why there's so much suffering and poverty in the world, but what I do understand is the Great Commission says that we've got to go and do something about it. And actually, the reason those who mourn are blessed is because comfort is available. And in the things that my eyes have seen in the world, and your eyes have seen also in Romania and Africa and other places, there is mourning caused by the sorrow and the sin and the suffering in the world. But surely we as Christians, surely we as Rayleigh Baptist Church, over the next few years, I hope and pray, that we will respond. We will respond to that by taking comfort. In Nepal today, there are people who have received comfort by the £4,200 that we gave on that one-off offering to Nepal. We might not go, but we'll help those encounter Jesus by the comfort that we will show to them. And there is mourning caused by our own sin. And I pray the reason that we have sin is because God allows that. And he allows that for many reasons. But he wants us to come to him with our sin and encounter him and be comforted by him and be changed by him. All of you know as well as I do. Do you want to come up, Trev? All of you know as well as I do that actually when we grapple with something personally in our life, there's a sin that we need to deal with. When we deal with that, that actually, when we allow Jesus to comfort us in this, we're a better person. Because I'm grateful for Andy and Vanessa. I meet with them every couple of weeks, and I'm grateful that they're on my team because they meet with people all the time and just give and give and give. But I hear wonderful stories of people saying, well, we have been comforted by them and by Jesus, and we've been restored. And we are people that have sin, aren't we? Just a few of you. God bless you all. But God wants to say, the reason those who mourn are blessed is because comfort is available.